raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Good morning, Tammy. How are you, girlfriend?
I am good.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited to do Habakkuk today. I'm Melissa Redpill. If you guys are new, we look at the current events in the light of God's word. This is biblical. This is literally biblical what we're experiencing. And so we've been studying the minor prophets. Today we're on Habakkuk. And we never read these books. And I'm telling you, they knew it. They were telling us what we're going to experience. This is the answer key. You got the study guide right there. So for the teacher, she gets the answers. But you guys don't do that one. You got to do the study guide first to make sure that after you read the book and you really try to soak in as much as you can, and then you can answer. And that's the only way you're going to know if you really have that information locked in. We actually have the audiobooks on my website, melissaredpill.com, and I've been listening to those, and it really helps to as a refresher and to lock in the wonderful truth that we have been learning. You're going to love today. You're going to love today. Habakkuk is awesome. He was the first minor prophet that I began to realize, hey, they were telling us what we would experience. So we'll get to that. But don't forget, hit the like button right now, everybody. Everybody, speaker up. Uh-oh. Speak up, Melly. Speak up. Can you hear me now? Okay, I want to make sure that we're good. Okay, no? Yes? I'm going to make it a little bit. How about that? I turned it. It's like in the red zone. All right. Can you hear me okay, Tammy?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, yeah. All right. Don't forget, hit the like button, everybody, and make sure you have the bell turned on your subscription so you'll know when we're doing a live video. Sometimes I do some surprise lives, and always share. And thank you so much, everybody, for sharing, and also on my ex, Melissa Redpill, over on X. Thank you so much. We have been growing. Thank you so much for helping to do that. This is the website here, melissaredpill.com. All of the videos that we have done right here in the video playlist, you'll see. We did a whole series on the other book, which is End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, the Decode of Revelation. Now we have, I think this is our 11th one on the Minor Prophets. So they're all over on Melissa Redpill, as well as this is where the audiobooks are. And you can make sure you find the real Melly right here. There's some fake Mellies out there who are trying to get people with crypto. And that's not Melly. That's not me. That's not the real Melly. And also you can find out great information about health. We're very, very excited about people getting healthy. We're going to have Maha, whether the big pharma likes it or not. We know they don't like it. All right, so today we are starting in Habakkuk. This is the table of contents. So we're all the way down here to number 11. And, Zechariah's coming up, though. Zechariah, probably, that might take about 3 weeks on that one. But that's okay. We're not in any rush. We just really want to understand these minor prophets, and we do now. We finally understand them. So let's get started. You ready, Miss Tammy? Okay, before you read that, I just wanted to start off with years ago, I was, the Lord led me to read Habakkuk with fresh eyes once I had awakened, and I was heading on a plane. Thank you. And so I was heading on a plane to Washington, D.C., because we'd been kicked off of, our first thing to be kicked off of. We've been kicked off of so many things, it's hard to keep up. Which one was it?
YouTube?
No, that was before I did YouTube. Anyway, it was a board that we were all, following cue on and all that. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, Lord, now what do you want me to do? I want to continue in this battle. What do you want me to do? And I'm sure you all have had that very same prayer. Okay, Lord, tell me where to fight in the battle. What do you want me to do? And so, He had put it on my heart on the plane to read Habakkuk. And so I get to DC. We go to this event that Tracy Beans put on, and I'm listening, expecting just to, listen to all the speakers, which that was great. I was excited to meet other people. We had marched down the street beating our little drums, and trying to get everybody excited about, Q. And there's like, I don't know, maybe 100 of us. But she had an open mic. And I just applaud Tracy Beans that she would do such a thing, the freedom of speech, which was outrageous. And so she said, if anyone has anything they wanted to share, just come on up. And the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, go. And I'm like, I don't have anything prepared, And so he said, yes, you do. And it was Habakkuk. And because I had just been so excited to see how the prophets were telling us what we were experiencing in this day and connecting it so much with all the things that we had been learning. So you're going to love Habakkuk. He's got a special place in my heart. So, all right, so let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that you speak to us through your word and through your people. And thank you that you have tapped us on the shoulder and that you just continually guide us all the time. And we're just really thankful that to hear from you and to have this living, vital connection with you. Lord, as we study today, we're just asking you, like you always do, you just speak this to our hearts and help us to understand it and for it to really bolster our knowledge and our confidence and our excitement about what you're doing in the earth. And it's the end times for these creeps and 1,000 years of peace for us. And Habakkuk knew that we were going to enter into these beautiful, beautiful days and that these creeps would be gone and that we're going to join together. So we just praise you and thank you that you know the end from the beginning and that you have all this planned out and you've written these things down for us if we'll just look. And now that we look and you have spoken to us very clearly. So thank you so much for that. We pray for many other people to come on board and really understand what's going on and the wonderful truth from your word and just help us to share your truth wherever we go. We pray this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're starting in the second chapter. Because the first chapter is sad. I think the first chapter makes more sense if you start with the second chapter. Okay. So, and it's my book, so that's what we're doing. We're doing it that way. All right. So I think once you see it, then it'll make more sense to you. So, all right. Go for it, Tammy.
Okay. So I will stand at my watch and set myself on the ramparts and will look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Yahweh answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who runs may read it.
Yes. Right. Yep. So the question is, we're going to start on chapter 2. Okay. Can you hear Habakkuk's call to share this important message? Do you hear that? He's saying, look, I'm standing on the watch. I'm watching this, what's going on in the world. I'm a watchman. The Lord has set me on this post to watch what's going on and to be to help make sure that righteousness is going on in my community, in the world. I've got this complaint. Look at all this evil that's going on. And the Lord says, okay, I want you to write this vision. Write what I'm saying and write it down plainly so that whoever reads it, he who runs may read it. In other words, those who will read this message will be able to run with this truth and share it. Kind of like what we talk about all the time on our channel. Whatever the truth is that that President Trump has put out, we put it out there and we make it run. We're trying to get the truth to run, to go viral, in other words. All right, so that's what Habakkuk's call was, and because he had a complaint, and the Lord was going to give him an answer. He's not necessarily going to like the answer, but we'll get to that. All right, so do you think Habakkuk might have been talking about writing on electronic tablets? I thought that was kind of funny, yeah? You know, little did we know, you know, that we were going to be having this day where we could all communicate. Look at this. Look at us. Here we are on Zoom and able to, streaming, and we can all have this live communication. So absolutely amazing. You know, this electronic age that we live in, make it plain on tablets. In other words, make it plain on the internet. All right. So number three, let's go to that one.
What was the Lord telling Habakkuk about his message in Habakkuk 2:3? For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it hurries toward the end, and won't prove false. Though it takes time, wait for it, because it will surely come. It won't delay.
That's right. Well, I've quoted that to you. Now, this is in the WEB version, which is a public domain version, but you've probably heard me read it many times in the NLT version. And the NLT version, it says, though it tarries, wait for it will surely come and it will not be delayed. So, you know, and I had actually heard that, you know, one of the few passages that I had known before this movement, you know, from the Minor Prophets. So that's how we feel. You know, Habakkuk was like, come, hurry, hurry. And I remember the day when I was standing outside and looking at the sign of the Son of Man. I'm like, what am I looking at, Lord? What are you trying to tell us? And I knew things were really, you know, it was just bad in our country, you know, with the Obama years. And, you know, President Trump at that time was, campaigning to become for his first term. And I was like, Lord, hurry. And, you know, at that point, I thought that he was going to come and, you know, have us escape out of earth. That's what I was still believing at that point. And so I'm like, Lord, hurry. Well, Habakkuk feels the same way. He feels the same way. He's like, hurry, Lord. But he's saying, but the Lord is telling him, you know, if it feels like it's taking forever, trust the plan. And just know that if it seems like that, it will come. It will not be delayed. In other words, God has a plan and his timetable. Nothing will stop it from happening on exactly his timetable. So we can fret and moan and complain all that we want, like Habakkuk, but that's not going to change when it happens, right? So anybody here a complainer? Right?
Well, I used to be, but I got something from God about 20 years ago that said, patient people are powerful people. And I have that little note on my computer. I read it every day because I know it's going to be the day is exactly when it's going to happen.
Yes.
But I want it now.
Right. And on the board, it also talks about, you know, they're doing this to make sure the people are as safe as possible. But actually tomorrow on our show, I'm not going to get into it right now, but, you know, we've seen a lot of really great Q posts and a lot of great things from Putin's advisor. So we see really a lot of great encouragement that this is happening. You know, this is coming, and we're getting really, really, really close on that. So that's exciting. But he's telling him just to, if it feels like it's taking forever, we wait for it. It will surely come. It will come, and it will not be delayed. Of course, he's telling Habakkuk this 2,700 years ago. So he's in a situation where he's not going to see the kingdom come and God's will be done on earth. But we are. We are the generation that gets to see it. So really, right now, pinch yourself. Just so exciting that we get to be on earth at this time and in his battle. We're so blessed. And to be knowing that this is biblical. Really, pinch yourself three times. All right, so go ahead. All right, so number four.
What is the runner's message in its simplest form? Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul is puffed up and is not upright in him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Yes, moreover, wine is treacherous. An arrogant man who doesn't stay at home, who enlarges his desire as Sheol, is like death and can't be satisfied. but gathers to himself all nations and heaps to himself all peoples.
Right.
Pure evil.
Right. Right. Yep.
They deceive us. They make us sick. They're never satisfied.
Right. Right.
The righteous are faithful to God.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So this is the message. There's some evil people out here. Right. Very, very evil. And, you know, we kind of, I don't know, we're led to believe that, well, we have a difference of opinion on some things, but I just didn't realize this was demonic, that these people were literally evil. And that's the, you know, that's the message. It's not a great, fun message, but I mean, that's really our message that we are telling people that, you know, it's kind of hard for them to grapple with, but when we say that these people literally worship Satan. We've heard this from Putin. We've heard this from, you know, a lot of people that these people literally are Satan worshipers. And that's a hard message to get through because people don't want to believe that. That just changes your whole thinking about everything. It's a big old red pill. But this is clearly what the Word of God says. It says he enlarges his desire as Sheol. Sheol is another word for hell. It's like this gaping hole of evil. And they're just like, oh, I want to take in all this evil. It's just hard. It's just impossible for you and me to fathom because we just don't think like that. He's trying to help the sheep understand there are ravenous wolves who will intentionally do harm. Right. And they can't be satisfied. Like death, they're never satisfied. It's like, you just did something horrible. You just, you know, killed all these people. And now you want to start another war? Yeah, I know who I'm talking about. It's like, can't you be satisfied for 5 minutes with the evil that you've done? No, they cannot be satisfied. They just gathered to themselves nations and heaps to themselves all these peoples. They just, it's from the pits of hell that they just are compelled to do evil. So there's his message. That's the message. And, you know, with that knowledge that you have swallowed down that very hard red pill, then you begin to be suspicious about a jab or about what you're being told on the mainstream media. You know, before we were all trusting sheep. And so now, because we understand that this is who's controlling a lot of the media, big pharma, all this, that we now have, been more suspicious. And therefore, you're alive. Therefore, you are filled with hope because the truth sets us free, right? All right, so next, what does Habakkuk 2, 6, and 7 say? What does the Lord promise will happen to those thieves?
Won't all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, woe to him who increases that which is not his and who enriches himself by extortion. How long? Won't your debtors rise up suddenly and wake up those who make you tremble and you will be their victim?
Yes. That's us. So, yeah, you know, we've always heard, oh, you know, be sweet, be nice. The Lord is telling us to make a taunting parable, a taunting proverb, to mock them. And in the NLT, it says, you know, won't your debtors mock you, right? Won't they taunt you, saying what sorrow awaits you thieves? Now you'll get what you deserve. This is what the Lord really wants us to do with the you know, not with your neighbor who, you know, maybe, you know, did something to you that aggravated you. This mockery is for the evildoers. This mockery is for those who have literally joined on the side of evil. So if you notice the other day, you know, President Trump put out a couple of posts that were really mocking Shifty Schiff and Pritzker and Chris Christie and somebody else who was mocking. And if I just felt like he was just, you know, making fun of someone, I wouldn't probably have shared it, which he wouldn't do that. He's trying to help us understand these people are your enemy. And when we mock them, that helps people to understand these people are not your friend. These are not people that you want to have anything to do with. These are the people that you want to mock. And this is what it's talking about here. And won't the debtors rise up suddenly? We are the debtors. We are the ones who are basically in debt prison. Because they've caused our dollar to be worthless. We are the ones who they've put us in this terrible position where they are the haves and we are the have-nots, that we really can't buy or sell. You know, they control everything. They tax our everything. If you ever own a house, they're going to tax it until you don't, right? These are the debtors, and that we will rise up suddenly. This is the day of suddenly. And we're waking up, and that we're waking up those who make them tremble. Who makes them tremble? It's the ones who can hold them accountable. Who's that? Well, like right now, here we are on the 6th of September, 2025, and we see that our military is going down to the drug cartels and blasting them into hell, literally. You know, stopping all of their trafficking of these drugs, stopping all of adjuvants or whatever that from coming into Venezuela to be able to make these horrible drugs, right? All this is happening, you know, right now. You know, they're trembling. They are trembling. And right in the same way, the FBI, the former FBI and the former CIA, they are trembling because they're before a grand jury. I mean, all of this is causing them to tremble because they realize that the white hats are in control of the military. The white hats are in control of the Department of Justice. Beautiful day. Beautiful day. So this is what we say together. Well, now, you people, you're going to get what you deserve, right? All right, so this is what the Lord wants us to say, you know, and I think we have tended to err on the side of mercy. The Lord says no mercy, no mercy for these people. They are our sworn enemy. I love how yesterday, the 5th of September, 2025, our Department of Defense was renamed to the Department of War. Yeah, we are warriors. He's Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, said, we are not just defenders, we are warriors. We're the warrior ethos. So that's we've been doing this for a long time. We've been warriors for a long time. So but we need to just make sure that we keep that right thinking. All right, so number six.
Think Jubilee, think debt cancellation. How is this plundering of the New World Order possible? Habakkuk 2:8. Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the peoples will plunder you.
Right. Yes. Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Okay, I thought you had something.
Everything. They've stored it all up. They've got it together, and we're just going to take it back.
Right. Amen. Amen. And plunder is not a word that we use every day. Right. But plunder is a word to say that we're going to take back what has been stolen from us. And the plunder, we're robbing them. But it was ours to begin with, and they stole it from us. Okay, because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the peoples will plunder you. So these are as it was saying, the debtors, we have been put in, we've become debtors because they've just put all this on us. And our debts, what is our debt up to? 37 trillion, some crazy, it's crazy, crazy number. And it's going to be wiped out. It's going to be wiped out. So don't worry. So everything that they have taken from us, we will get it back, and we'll be debt free. And then some. Our country will be wealthy again. Trust President Trump, trust the plan. And they'll be gone. This is the Lord's word. This is the promise in his word. You see why I started on Habakkuk 2. Yeah, I love this. And so, like I said, this is what I had read just before I went to that Tracy Beans event in Washington, D.C. And I was pumped up to read Habakkuk 2. All right, so I've been reading it ever since to you guys. So the other thing is the remnant. For those of you who have not heard me talk about what the remnant is, if you think of the tribes of Israel that were scattered throughout the entire world, little scraps all over, that's what a remnant is. If you've ever sewn a dress, you know that you cut out the cloth and you have all these little scrap pieces left over. And that's what happened. All the little scraps, the remnants, were scattered throughout all the world. And so that's us. We are the remnant. It's not about size. It's about how the scattering of all these little pieces. And the Lord did that for two reasons, at least two reasons. One is to keep us from being under their control, all in one bunch. They're more easily controlled. And the other reason is He wanted the world, or earth, to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. If we're all in one place, then we can't be the light of Christ and the sweet savor of Christ in every place. All right, so that is number six. You guys add on to into the chat. I'm watching the chat, so you can add on. Yeah, I see someone's talking about the revaluation of gold, the golden age. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow on our show because we've been. Yeah, lots of really interesting things happening. Gold just started to move, and silver has started to move, and gold will destroy the Fed. So, yeah, and they will not be able to print any more money when, you know, President Trump, first of all, revalues the gold and pegs the dollar to gold. That's what it looks like is going to happen, and that they won't be able to print money anymore because every dollar will cost that amount of gold. So, yeah, so watch and see. All right, so number seven.
Okay. What are the evil ones accused of? And does the cabal think they will face judgment? Habakkuk 2:8-13. Because of men's blood and for the violence done to the land, to the city and all who dwell in it, woe to him who gets an evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the hand of evil. You have devised shame to your house by cutting off many peoples and have sinned against your soul. For the stone will cry out of the wall, and the beam of the woodwork will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, isn't it from Yahweh of armies that the people labor for the fire and the nations weary themselves for vanity?
Mm. All right. This doesn't sound exactly like the New World Order. Because of men's blood, all the people that they have killed in one way or 10, whether it's the wars or the jabs or the Lord only knows what they put in the food, all these things, because of men's blood and for the violence, literal violence done in the land, to the city and to all who dwell in it, the Lord is going to crush them. And they'll be plundered, the last verse that we just read, they'll be plundered because of what they've done. They've done this evil to the people, and that's why they'll be punished. Woe to him who gets an evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the hand of evil. What this is saying, and a little differently from the NLT, is that they thought that they could build up this entire system. They could control all the judges, they could control all the government, they could control all these things, and they would get a get-out-of-jail-free card. They would never have to pay for their crimes. They thought, oh, we are so protected that nothing can happen to us. Doesn't that sound exactly like Hillary? Exactly like all these people, like Comey. Oh, no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. Because they would know if you brought a case against one of them, then it's your life, right? They have this Masonic system set up that they're going to protect each other, right? Woe to those who did this. Woe to those who did this. They built this thing up and they ran this world on evil and on injustice. Woe to them. And they have brought shame, it says. You've devised shame to your house. They brought shame on themselves forever. That mockery we were just saying, talking about we're going to mock them, they'll have eternal mockery and shame. This is what Habakkuk is talking about. And all these years I would read this, I was like, who are these people that are so evil? Well, the very ones we had trusted that were right under our noses. And now we see it. It's like the emperor has no clothes. We see this. We're like, oh my gosh, how did we miss this before? We just didn't know what we didn't know. And the stones cry out. The beams cry out. Everybody has seen this. The house is saying, we saw this. The world is crying out for these people to be punished for what they've done. All right. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and establishes a city by iniquity. They've run all the towns. I'm sorry to tell you, but your town too. You know, they run all these towns into the ground. One of our dear friends, hey Lisa, has been talking about that. It's her town where they just arrested all these illegals that were there in the Hyundai factory, whatever you call it, and plant. And you know, these are props that should go to Americans. Americans have suffered and have not had a job, and they've been no telling what they've been paying these illegals. Right? This is they built this city with iniquity to harm the people that the job should go to, and really harming the the immigrants too, but unfortunately these immigrants have really a terrible situation where they came from. It, you know, I'm not blaming the immigrants over it because they've come from a very difficult situation too. They're trying to make everyone an immigrant. I actually read a statistic yesterday. It said we've had more immigrants in this century than ever before. It's 122 million immigrants. People have had to flee their homes because of war or poverty or whatever's going on. So this is how they built the cities, because they've caused so much unrest, and that the people have come and you know, it's just they've just the injustice, the you know, inequity, you know, against their own people. But of course, they swear allegiance to, you know, the New World Order. They don't swear allegiance to their country, whether it's America or any other country. All right, so yeah, so this is he says the Lord they're doing all this in vain. All the work that they're doing, it's going to be in vain, because they are going to be paid for what they've done. They will be the offscouring of the earth forever, forever. All right. What answer this one for me, Miss Tammy. What was Habakkuk telling us about their money protecting them?
Not going to happen. They think it's going to happen. It's happened. They've been able to get away with it for many years, but suddenly everything is going to change.
Yeah, right, right. And yes. I think we're seeing that now. They thought, yeah, they thought wrong, that they could run D.C. Well, President Trump went in there and cleaned it out in just a few days. You see how quickly it can turn around.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And then in Chicago and New York and Louisiana, they're next. All right, so number nine.
What is the Lord's promise in Habakkuk 2:14? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of Yahweh's glory as the waters cover the sea.
Yes. How many times have I quoted that one? I love that. I love that. Yes. So what are your thoughts on that, Miss Tammy?
Oh, this is will be our time. Evil will be gone. We will just be worshiping with the Lord. It'll be the good people. It will have the 1,000 years of peace. We'll have the wonderful golden age. Everything it's in the promises.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
Very clearly. Oh, I'm just having so much fun writing the book, The Golden Age, because I'm going through and I'm on whatever topic, whether it's the Golden Age of Peace or the Golden Age of Health or the Golden Age of Justice, I'm going and finding all the promises that apply to that. And it's just everywhere. The Golden Age of Faith, everyone will know him from the least to the greatest. I mean, just so many verses talking about that. Once you start looking for it, you're like, oh my goodness, it's everywhere. And we just didn't see it before. And so the earth will be filled with the knowledge of Yahweh's glory. It's everyone will know him. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone will, you know, maybe they have been misled about one thing or another, but they'll come into that alignment because of the Holy Spirit being poured out. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord, it has been poured out. The Spirit of God has been poured out on you and me to understand these things, but soon it'll be poured. The Spirit of God will be poured out on everyone, and that's what the Word of God says. It's really exciting. So as the waters cover the sea, that's everywhere. We're everywhere, everywhere. So very, very exciting news. So this is at after he has talked about all these things are going to happen. These people will be held to an account, and he's saying when the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord's glory, when the earth has been filled with his people all over the world, and that at that moment when they rise up, then you will see that this glorious thing happens where the evildoers are cast out, okay? Just as we were reading earlier, right here in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, that these people will be, you know, we will mock them, they will tremble, they will be brought to shame. All that happens when we rise up because of the Spirit of the Lord, because of the knowledge of the Lord. And that's where we are in the timeline of history. Just the fact that you and I are awake, you know, that's, and so many people awake all over the world, this is clear sign. This is happening. It's very, very, very exciting. All right. So now number 10.
Then in Habakkuk 2:15-17, the Lord continues to show how and why the cabal will be cut down and disgraced. What does the Lord say he will do to them? Woe to him who gives his neighbor drink, pouring your inflaming wine until they are drunk, so that you may gaze at their naked bodies. You are filled with shame and not glory. You will also drink and be exposed. The cup of Yahweh's right hand will come around to you, and disgrace will cover your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, and the destruction of the animals will terrify you. Because of men's blood, and for the violence done to the land, to every city, and to those who dwell in them.
Yep, exactly. That's it. Yes, H. Clay. That's exactly what the Lord was telling us in Habakkuk. We didn't realize he was talking about that they would traffic children. They would use their pictures and put them all over the internet. It's just awful. It's just, it's straight from the pits of hell. They are constantly wanting to demean and push down humanity. They know that we are the Lord, God's children, made in his image, with made magnificently and gloriously, and they want to use and demean our humanity that the Lord stamped his own image on. And this is why they want to, you know, put all these drugs into us. They want to and basically turn us into a robot, turn us into and make it where we can't think clearly. And, you know, all these ones having, after 72 jabs, no wonder they have mental illness, depression and schizophrenia and transgender and all of these things. They're trying to destroy what the Lord created with us having his image on us. Okay. So, yeah, actually yesterday, all the things that I see online, a lot of things I see, I don't post. I'm just trying to make sure that you have these things on the social media that are the hard-hitting information that you can share. And obviously whatever President Trump posts, but I did see a post, and I did post this, that they have created this bull sperm, dead bull sperm, that they have put magnetic magnets on to be able to go into a reproductive organ, to go exactly to a certain spot to heal a woman's reproductive organs. Not in this lifetime. Not in this lifetime. You know, I see through it. You do not need to use dead bull sperm to do such a thing, to heal someone. They are trying to find every which way in the world to demean righteous humanity. It's just, it shocks the system. Like, and, you know, thankfully, you know, we're like, no. Or they're trying to do the jab and say, take this jab that has fetuses in it. No. Trying to force people to take these things. This is what we're talking about. This is what they were trying to, you know, to do. Trying to, what is it? What was the verse? Woe to them who, I'm sorry, let me move it over here. Woe to him who gives his neighbor drink, pouring your inflaming wine until they become drunk, so they may gaze on their naked bodies. They're trying to demean and to take away the glory. They absolutely hate the fact that we have the glory of the Lord on us. They hate it because they have cast off the glory of the Lord. And so they want to cast our glory off of us. And what they really want is for people to join in on their pornography and these types of things to demean themselves and to demean others. And we got to see through it. Got to see through it. And like, no, I'm made in God's image. And these children are made in God's image. And these are our, you know, sister and brother, someone's sister and brother. This is, you know, they're trying to demean and instead of honor, bring honor. And so the Lord says, you're going to be the one who's going to be dishonored. You will be dishonored. The whole world will be scorning you and know what you've done and who you are and that you've literally joined with demons. Yeah. And the disgrace will cover you completely. That's what he's saying. All right. Yeah. I get pretty upset talk about this stuff. Okay, so this is what we realize what they have done because of this violence done to the land and all the devastation that they have caused. Imagine every one of those children that President Trump has talked about, 300,000 children, that number just is outrageous. They all have parents. They all have family members who are just hurting so badly over all this. The violence will come on their heads. Thank you, Lord. Finally, we're there. All right. So, number 11.
What is the Lord saying about the evil ones and why they will not be forgiven? Habakkuk 2:18-20. What good is an idol carved by man or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation, a God that can't even talk. What sorrow awaits you who say to wooden idols, wake up and save us. To speechless stone images you say, rise up and teach us. Can an idol tell you what to do? They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they are lifeless inside. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him.
Amen. Amen. What good is it? What good is it? These demons, they thought the demons could save them. They thought their money could save them. And you know, what good is it that they've worshipped demons? They've thought that the demons have given them this power and they've protected them. And now they're going to find out. It's like it says in verse 19, oh, rise up and teach, save us. And they won't be able to. They will not be able to. And they made a very foolish choice to join with them, with the demons. They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they're lifeless inside. They can't do anything for you. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. In other words, all the demons have to be silent before the Lord. All the ones who've taken in demons have to be silent before the Lord, and they have to take their punishment. That's what that verse is. If you've ever heard, you know, you've seen that verse, and it looks like it's all on a pretty thing with a flower and a, you know, beautiful background, and it's got the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. And it's true. It's a beautiful verse, but in context, it's saying, you be quiet, evil ones. You are going to take the punishment you deserve. That's what the verse is talking about in context, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that it was, they made a foolish choice to put their trust in demons. All right, so that is Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk 2 is talking about Habakkuk is upset. He doesn't understand why these evildoers are getting away with these things. And now he realizes they're going to be brought to shame and that the Lord is in control. And he will bring them to shame and destruction. Okay, so now we'll go back to actually Habakkuk chapter 1. All right, so someone had a quick question. I don't know how quick it is, but and it was that, could I ask a question? Does Melly think that Jesus is walking on the earth now and that he will be during our lifetime? I believe he is, and I believe he will be. And there's several verses in the Old Testament that talk about that the Lord himself will dwell among us. The Lord himself will be king. You know, that he will rule and reign on this earth physically. And if you remember our Lord Jesus, he told his disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them and teaching them everything I've commanded. And lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. He was saying, I'll be with you, even though you don't necessarily see me, I will be with you, because at the golden age, he will be physically with us. He won't have to say, I'm with you, because we're like, well, we see you, we know you are here, and that everyone will know him from the least to the greatest. So he will, yes, it will be, because, you know, he was on his first advent, he accomplished that mission. And so on the second advent, he will then establish his kingdom, as it talks about in Revelation 11. You know, we give praise to you, Lord, because you've taken your role and you've begun to reign. You've now taken your seat of authority on this earth. And yes, we will. We will see him. We will. All right. So hopefully that answers that question. Yes, we will. All right. So number 12, Miss Tammy.
Everywhere Habakkuk looked, there was violence and injustice. He just couldn't go back to life as normal. What was Habakkuk crying out to the Lord in 1-4? The revelation which Habakkuk the prophet saw. Yahweh, how long will I cry and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, and will you not save? Why do you show me iniquity and look at perversity? For destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and contention rises up. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore justice comes out perverted.
Yes. All right. All right. So yeah, so this is Habakkuk. This is how the book of Habakkuk starts. He's flipping out. He's like, there's violence. There's thieves. They come in, they take these people, they chase them out of their homes, and then they take over their homes. They do all these things. He's just freaking out. He's like, Lord, how long am I going to cry and you don't save? How are you allowing this to happen? That's why this is a hard, thing to start with. That's why I started with chapter 2. He says, why do you show me all this evil that's going on and then you don't do anything about it? And that's kind of where we've been. We're like, how is this going on with these children? Right? And it's so, so frustrating, so horrible to know these things. You know, this knowledge is hard to grapple with. The law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. For the wicked surround them, the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. So he's you know, feels the way we do. Like, why is this going on? Why is this being allowed to happen? Well, because the prince of the power of the air has ruled the earth. We, and in Adam, relinquished our rights and entered into the kingdom of darkness. The world was cast in, then under the power of the evil one. And our Lord Jesus came and he bought back humanity. He redeemed humanity on the cross. And so, but he says we have to, you know, he couldn't just say at that point, okay, I'm going to put myself on the throne, because it had to be where the people all over the world wanted him to be the king, wanted him to be their ruler, and then would cast out these evildoers. And that's finally where we are in humanity. We weren't there yet in his first advent, but now after 2,000 years, we are there, and where justice will prevail because he will be ruling the earth. Okay, so I will answer that question that y'all had maybe at the end. Don't let me forget, okay? Because they were asking about the, during the golden age. And all right, so don't let me forget. All right, so now this is where Habakkuk is. He is, you know, complaining about this the same way that we are. We're like, we've got to have justice. Well, we have to have enough people who demand justice. It has to be where the people cry out for justice, right? And all over the world. All right, so what did Habakkuk 1, 5 through 11 say?
Look among the nations, watch and wonder marvelously, for I am working a work in your days which you will not believe, though it is told you. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the width of the earth, to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are feared and dreaded, their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Yes, their horsemen come from afar. They fly as an eagle that hurries to devour. All of them come for violence. The hordes face forward. They gather prisoners like sand. Yes, they scoff at kings, and princes are a derision to them. They laugh at every stronghold, for they build up an earthen ramp and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on. They are indeed guilty. Whose strength is their God?
Yep. The Lord is responding to Habakkuk. He's like, yes, I see all the violence. Clearly, the Lord says he sees it. He says, look at them. Wonder. And so it's a wonder. Look at these people. The Chaldeans, they're bitter and hasty. They possess dwellings that are not theirs. In verse 6, they're not, you know, they just stole it, right? They're feared and dreaded. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. In other words, they do not say what the Lord says to do is what we're going to do. No, they say we're going to do what we want to do. Who does this sound like? This sounds like the cabal. They have no respect for the Lord. They have, as it says here, no respect for kings. They have no respect for princes. They will go in and run roughshod. They will do whatever they please. They're swifter than leopards, fiercer than evening wolves. They just, you know, they come and they devour everything, right? And you don't have 122 million people who have immigrated unless there's some terrible criminals that are running their country. People don't leave their country unless something terrible is going on, whether it's war-torn or dictators taking over and they lose their rights and all that. You know, they scoff. So this is, the Lord says, I clearly see this. And the Lord says, they're indeed guilty. They're indeed guilty. The Lord is agreeing with him. Yep, I see it. I'm glad you see it, Habakkuk, because I see it. And it's tough when you're the awake one, and maybe the other people don't necessarily recognize it. They're like, you know, and they don't necessarily recognize it until it comes to their doorstep, until it's them, right? And then a lot of people were saying, hey, you know what? We'll join in league with them, because then we'll be on the winning side and take all the plunder, right? All the, you know, so we'll benefit from all these things. So that's where humanity was, you know, when Habakkuk was writing this. All right, so now, but, you know, humanity has changed significantly. We are at the point where humanity recoils at the thought of children being harmed. Humanity has changed. The earth has been filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters fill the sea. All right, so I wanted to remind you of a passage in Hebrews 12. And this is really what the Lord is saying to, is going to be telling Habakkuk, is that, yes, the people are being chastened, disciplined, punished, because they joined with an evil. And there have to be consequences. Just like if you see a kid who doesn't ever get any consequences, that you can't even live with them, right? They're just out of control. And so the Lord is going to tell Habakkuk why he is allowing all of this to go on. All right, so read for us Hebrews 12, 6 and 7.
My son, don't take lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with children. For what son is there whom his father doesn't discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have been made partakers, then you are illegitimate and not children.
Right. Okay. So I've mentioned this before, and if you haven't seen these videos, go to the playlist on melissaredpill.com. Go to this section right here where you see the videos, the playlist, and you'll see the lost tribes of Israel. You'll see that the northern tribes of Israel were scattered throughout the world because they had gotten involved in Baal worship. And so the Lord had to discipline them. Now, if we are not his children, like you've got a kid down the street maybe who's misbehaving, and you don't go and chastise that kid. It's not your role. That's not your job. In the same way, there are those who don't belong to the Lord, and they don't get chastised. But the Lord chastens those who are his children. So he's saying here, don't take lightly the chastening of the Lord. Don't take it lightly in the sense that be thankful that the Lord chastens you. He corrects you. It shows that you are his child. And that I know every person on here could testify that the Lord has taught you and refined you to change you so that you are now a obedient child of his. Right? Would you say that, Miss Tammy?
Oh yes,
we all have. And the Lord is good because he loves us, and mm-hmm. he wants, you know, and he's our good father, right? Yeah. It's for discipline that you endure. The reason that you are who you are today is because of the Lord's discipline on your life. And sometimes you don't maybe understand it, and it says it chastening for the moment doesn't seem pleasant. It seems grievous, but it says it afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I don't think I wrote that verse in here, but anyway, that's what Hebrews 12 also talks about. So this is what he's doing, not just for you individually. I always looked at this individually, but it's also for all of humanity. The Lord has been chastening and disciplining humanity for, you know, for thousands of years to work out this evil, where we will not, for under any circumstances, join in league with the darkness. We will not participate in child sacrifice. We will, like they were doing back in the day. That's the farthest thing from our minds. Like, are you out of your mind? You know, so this is the goodness of the Lord to chasten us so that we would not be, you know, participating in demon rituals. Okay? Because we clearly know their end is not good. And plus, we just don't want to be that type of person. All right, so that's what he's talking about. He's telling Habakkuk that this is what's happening to the people. They have to be chastened. He says, yes, I see that. I see that. And he says he's using, okay, let me go back and show one other quick verse. You see where it says here? It says, look among the nations, watch and wonder marvelously, for I am, sorry, let me move this over. I am working a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it is told to you. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which will march through the width to possess the dwellings that are not theirs. Like, why are you raising them up? Why are you doing that? The Lord is saying he's doing that against his people. And it's because he's using the Chaldeans to discipline and chasten his children. That's a very hard answer, but that is the answer. So if people say, well, why does the Lord allow all this evil in the earth? That's the answer. Okay? Can you, will you, if someone asks you that question, will you be able to explain it to them? That's a kind of a hard answer. Now, Habakkuk was able to understand it because he had known that the Lord had told them, you have to stop worship, you know, the Baal worship. For hundreds of years, I don't even know how long, a long, long time, they've been warned, if you do, you're going to have to be punished. And they didn't stop, and that's what ended up happening. They felt that it was in their best interest to do this, and so they continued until judgment falls. And that, you know, but the Lord is not judging to harm. He's not disciplining to harm. He's disciplining to save. All right? Does that make sense? Right? Is that, H. Clay has an alarm going off. What is going on, H. Clay? What do we need? I don't know. I think you guys hear the sound. Everything's good? Is there a question? What happens to those who are chastened? Were they firewood or redeemed after discipline? Okay, so that goes back to that Hebrews 12 passage that we just read. The chastening of the Lord, the disciplining of the Lord is for our good, like a good father. It's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with children. For what son is there whom a father doesn't discipline? But if you're without discipline, of which we've all been made partakers, all of us here are partakers of that, then you are illegitimate and not children. Now, then he was mocking, President Trump, like I said, was mocking these people who have joined in league with demons. You think of like the Adam Schiff, he's not a child of God. He's not a child of God. He's created by God, but he's not a child. The Bible says that we become children of God by faith. And, you know, because we've been translated into this evil kingdom. Okay, so we have to be born again into the kingdom of Christ. It's what the Bible teaches. Okay, so I don't care how many people say, oh, everyone's a child of God. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. Not everyone's a child of God. And so those who are not children do not get disciplined. Okay, so he's clearly not being disciplined by the Lord. And so he's going on his merry way. And that's why we mock him. All right. So does that answer your question? All right. All right. So now, yes. We've been fooled and believed that the child sacrifice was wiped off the face of the earth. Yeah, but it wasn't. Thank you, Marge. Exactly. It was not wiped off the face of the earth. We didn't realize that they were still doing this. And so they continued to this day. But the vast majority of humanity does not participate in this. Those who still do clearly are not children of God. Hopefully that makes sense, right? All right. They turned their back on their birthright. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yep. All right. So now Habakkuk 12 through 17, Habakkuk is complaining to the Lord. What's he upset about this time? And what is he asking the Lord to do?
So aren't you from everlasting, Yahweh, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. Yahweh, you have appointed them for judgment. You, Rock, have established him to punish. You who have purer eyes than to see evil, and who cannot look on perversity, why do you tolerate those who deal treacherously and keep silent when the wicked swallows up the man who is more righteous than he? And make men like the fish of the sea, like the creeping things that have no ruler over them. He takes all of them with a hook. He catches them in his net and gathers them in his dragnet. Therefore he rejoices and is glad. Therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet, because by them his life is luxurious and his food is good. Will he therefore continually empty his net and kill the nations without mercy?
Yeah. So he's saying, but Lord, he's trying to convince the Lord to act and to stop the discipline. But the Lord is the good father. He knows that the children have got to be disciplined. That's the thing, you know, and it's hard. You know, a father does not want to discipline his child. You know, if they're in timeout or having to get a spanking, they don't want to have to do it, but they know they have to do it for the child's good, right? That's what's so insidious about them trying to stop parents from being parents, because they're trying to make a bunch of hellions, literally. All right, so it says here in Habakkuk, he's saying, but Lord, your eyes are too good, pure to see evil. You can't look on this perversity. You can't allow, you know, all this evil to happen, that they're, you know, harming your children, right? That's what he's saying. But Lord, you know, why would you, you know, surely you don't want him to do that. And Lord, they are not only doing the evil, but they are in swallowing up the righteous, but they're also worshiping. They think that their evil demon gods have, you know, made them rich, and they're worshiping these demon gods. You certainly don't want to see that happen. You see how what Habakkuk is saying? He's trying to convince the Lord to stop the discipline, the chastening. All right, that makes sense. That's what he's trying to say here in Habakkuk 1 and 12 through 17. Okay, so it reminds me of these people who were just blown into hell, you know, who have been making all these drugs, bringing them into America. We've lost, I think President Trump said, was it 300,000 Americans have died a year? I don't know, some crazy number from this fentanyl. Someone thinks that they're maybe getting some marijuana and it kills them with one little head of a pin drop of this fentanyl. Kills them. You know, they just, you know, these people have, but they're getting rich off of this. And they're thinking, this is, we're living the high life, and what do we care? You know, yay, we're, you know, doing all this evil stuff and killing off Americans. And so now, thank you, Lord, our wonderful Department of War is going against them and putting a stop to it. It's a beautiful day. Enjoy the show. Enjoy it. Enjoy seeing the evildoers finally, finally getting what they deserve. Yay. All right, so now, does that make sense on Habakkuk 1 now? So if you can go in your mind, okay, Habakkuk is complaining. He's like, I don't, you know, this is not fair. The Lord says I'm doing this to chasten them, to correct my people, because they have to have this chastening, and I'm using the evildoers to chasten my people. It's all throughout God's word. That's clearly what the Lord was doing. And then he says, you know, but Habakkuk is still like, but no, Lord, this is, you know, you certainly don't want to do that, because they're, you know, you can't allow this evil to go on, and you can't allow them to worship the demon gods. And then Habakkuk 2, which we just already did, he's saying, okay, now write this down. Write this down. Write it on the tablet so people can run with this message that these people are wicked and that they will be punished. There'll be the offscouring of the earth. They will be scorned by all. They will be, take get the punishment that they deserve. This will happen, Habakkuk. The Lord is telling him, this will happen. Do not worry. It will happen. And he says, the Lord, I am in my holy temple, and let all the earth keep silent from before me, because nothing can stop what is coming. I'm the one in control. Okay. So now, okay, that's the summary of Habakkuk 1 and Habakkuk 2. Y'all with me? Everybody with me? All right. It makes sense now, right? Now we know it helps so much to have, you know, people that you understand, okay, the New World Order will pay for their crimes. And that the whole of humanity has been chastened, but now we're at the point where humanity is, the chastening is over, and we're going to be set free from them. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, and it looks like they're winning. It looks like they're rich. It looks like they have everything. And the more that it looks that way, the bigger it'll be when they fall. So probably before the fall, it comes down big.
Right, right. Waiting. Yes, and that famous Psalm, I don't remember what number of Psalm it is, but it says, you know, I was jealous of the rich until I saw their end. Uh-huh. And he says, I was a brute beast before you. Why would I be jealous of these people? How ignorant was I? The Lord has set their feet in slippery places. Somebody know what Psalm that is? Anyway, that one is just, yeah, that's exactly it. We do not we're not jealous of them at all, because their end is bad. All right. Now, number 16, let's read Habakkuk 3, 2 through 16. What are some of the things Habakkuk has learned after all his prayers and complaints to the Lord? Okay. Oh, you know what? I wanted to, this one is different. Let me read this one real quick. Sure. Okay. He says, Yahweh, Okay, so he's had a moment to soak in what the Lord has told him. He now has finally understands. And so he's no longer complaining. Habakkuk has finally come to a place where he trusts the Lord. He trusts that the Lord knows what he's doing. He doesn't need Habakkuk's help, right? He, you know, just like us, we now realize that the Lord is the one who's in his holy temple. And we're going to be part of the ones that are silent before him because we have this respect for him that we recognize that he knows what he's doing and he has the power to do all this and to make it right, okay? In his right timing and all that. We're not complaining. I really don't see that many more complaints anymore on the channel. I know, you know, used to, I'd be, oh, why is this taking so long? That's the way Habakkuk was at the beginning. But then now he's going to be quietly, patiently waiting on the Lord's timing. Okay, so Habakkuk chapter 3. Yahweh, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Yahweh. That's where we are now. That's where you, I know all of the people on our battalion, we are in that place of we know your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds. We trust your plan. Renew your work in the middle of the years. In the middle of the years, make it known. In wrath, you remember mercy. In other words, the Chaldeans, the New World Order, have come against us. They have done their worst. But here we are. The Lord has protected us so that they could not snuff us out. They could not snuff out humanity. The Lord remembered mercy. He did not allow them to eradicate the righteous. How about that? Praise the Lord. That was their plan. That was their plan for thousands of years, and that was their plan with the jab. And they failed. They will fail and fail and fail. Okay? They will not be able to eradicate humanity. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Selah is it, like, praise the Lord. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor is like the sunrise. Rays shine from his hand where his power is hidden. Plague went before him, and pestilence followed his feet. He stood, and he shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains were crumbled. The age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The dwellings of the land of Midian trembled. Was Yahweh displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Or your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses? On your chariots of salvation? In other words, he's saying, the Lord is bringing salvation. It might look like everything is so topsy-turvy, everything is crazy, everything is shaking, but the Lord is bringing salvation for humanity. And it may not always look like it. But that's his, he, as Habakkuk is saying here, he is all wise, all knowing. His glory covers the earth. His splendor is like the sunrise. Rays shine from his hand. I mean, the Lord knows what he's doing. And that's the settled place that we all have to be in to be at peace, is to trust the Lord and his plan, right? And his power. His ways are eternal. So yeah, these have trembled because, some of these have trembled because they know that the Lord is going to bring down judgment on them. And this is what Habakkuk is about to see prophetically. The crushing of these evildoers. He thinks that God's people were crushed. And yes, we have been under their boot. But not like the New World Order will get. These demon worshipers will be utterly destroyed. So he's saying, you uncovered your bow. You called for your sworn arrows. When the Lord rises up with his bow and his arrows, it's over. It's over for them. Praise the Lord. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and were afraid. The storms of waters passed by. The deep roared and lifted up its hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in the sky at the light of your arrows as they went at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in wrath. You threshed the nations in anger. Okay, so let's go back and remind you, God's people were being chastened, disciplined for good. That's different from the wrath of God. The wrath of God is against the evildoers, to destroy them. He pulls out his bow and his arrows, and his arrows fly as shining as the shining of his glittering spear. In other words, when he brings down this judgment on them, it'll be shocking. It will shock the world when we see the devastation on the evildoers. I'm telling you, get ready. Get ready. We're going to see this. President Trump even said the other day, he says, you know, someone kills a police officer? The death penalty? Was that what it was he said? Someone gets the death penalty. I think it was from killing a police officer. He's saying, I don't know if the people are ready for that, but that's what we're going to do. He's trying to seed our thoughts that we have to accept the death penalty. They tried to take that away from us you would never want, you know, the death penalty and someone's on death row for 20 years and it gets commuted and all that. No, not now. We have to say these people must receive the punishment for treason, which is death. We have to be the tough ones, you guys. We have to be the strong ones who say that they deserve death. We have to be the tough ones. We who are in the Q movement, we who know this is biblical, we have to say death because these people cannot be redeemed. They are the true irredeemable ones. These are the ones who've joined in league with demons. And we are the ones who have to stand strong and say the death penalty for what they've done to humanity. Okay? And, you know, I think it'll help people when they realize they did this intentionally to literally kill grandma, you know. They did this on purpose when all that truth comes out. All right. So you marched through the land in wrath. You threshed the nations in your anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. Why is the Lord bringing all this wrath on them? To save us, to save humanity, to save the righteous. Okay. You crushed the head of the land of wickedness and you stripped them from head to toe. Selah. As in, Selah is like, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have to get to that point in our, where we're, the righteousness and righteous indignation in us is so strong that we say they must be destroyed because of what they've done to the righteous. They must pay the consequences of their crimes. You pierced the heads of his warriors with their own spears. They came as a whirlwind to scatter me, gloating as if to devour the wretched in secret. That's what they've done, right? They've always done that. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning mighty waters. I heard and my body trembled. So Habakkuk is seeing this. He's foreseeing this in the future. The crushing wrath of God that will come against these people. And it's making him tremble. They were trembling. And Habakkuk's not even getting this punishment, and he's trembling. He's freaking out. He's like, oh my goodness, his lips quivered at the voice. Yeah. What we see is probably going to make us quiver. It's going to make us tremble. I'm just telling you right now, we're going to have to be tough, and we're going to have to be strong. He says, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in my place, because I must wait quietly for the day of trouble, for the coming of the people, for the coming up of the people who invade us. Okay, I'm going to read it actually from Habakkuk, from the NLT version. Let me take you to the NLT version because it's a little easier to understand in there. It says, I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. All right, that's where we are. This whole chapter, this whole book of Habakkuk, he's complaining about the evildoers. The Lord says, you know, he sees it too. He says, you know, Lord, no, don't let them do this, could harm the people. They're more righteous. Don't let them, you know, worship their demon gods. He says, write this down, Habakkuk. These people will receive their just punishment. Just wait. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. I'm in my holy mountain. Nothing can stop what is coming. And now we get to 3, where Habakkuk says, I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike those who invade us. I will wait for the coming day when disaster will strike the New World Order and their minions. That is the culmination of the book of Habakkuk. Hey, who likes Habakkuk? I really like Habakkuk. really like Habakkuk. So I'm very thankful. Yeah, it's very interesting. The Lord had me. That was the first one I read, the first one that dawned on me. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is these people. This is who we're fighting. Habakkuk was, you know, saw these people. All right. So you might want to put that one on your fridge. Did y'all take some verses last week and put them on your fridge? Is your fridge getting full of verses? I must wait quietly for the day of trouble, for the coming up of the people who invade us. Or you can take it to the NLT version. This one right here. Write this down. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Okay, that's Habakkuk 3:16. John 3:16, Habakkuk 3:16. All right, so now we're waiting patiently, like a weaned child, trusting the Lord's plan, trusting his timing, fighting in the battle alongside him. But in the meantime, we have to deal with the reality of all the things that they're doing to us and harming our finances and harming our everything, you know. So this is what Habakkuk says, and for him to be able to be at peace in the middle of the suffering that he's enduring. Okay, so read that for us, Miss Tammy.
Okay. For even though the fig tree doesn't flourish, nor fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive fails, the fields yield no food, the flocks are cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in Yahweh. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's feet and enables me to go in high places.
Amen. How about that? That's where it talks about the treading on the heights, right? Mm-hmm. The deer treading on the heights. Think of yourself as that little, and you can just climb up and not have to worry at all. And you just go higher and higher and higher, right? And higher in joy, higher in peace. And it says, even though the fig tree doesn't flourish, there might not be any fruit on the vines. You might feel like my bank account's kind of empty, you know, right? But even still, no herds in the stalls, you know, I'm being affected by these people have stolen. Basically, he's saying that these people have stolen all these things from us, okay? Yet I'll rejoice in Yahweh. I'll be joyful in the God of my salvation. And, you know, I want to live to see this day. I want to, y'all know I was poisoned. The Lord rescued me and saved me from the poisoning. I'm just very thankful. If you guys haven't seen that, go to my Melissa Red Pill and you can read the story on healing the heart under the health tab. But, you know, whether I get, you know, live to see the day or don't live to see the day, I know that the Lord is the winner. We're on the winning side, you know, and that is what rejoices our soul. With, you know, we have loved ones who've passed on and who are with the Lord, and that, you know, they're on the winning side. This is our joy, that the Lord will crush the evildoers and remove them from the earth, and that we will all be back together again one day, and there'll be peace on earth in the golden age. But then there'll be, as you know, after the Gog and Magog battle, you can check out the other book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, if you want to find out more about what happens in End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. After that, there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying. Well, there'll be no separation between heaven and earth. We are on the winning side, right? I'll rejoice in Yahweh. I'll be joyful in the God of my salvation. He can destroy the demons and all their works. Our best friend can do it. How about that? Our best friend is the one who can conquer, who is the strong man who can bind. I'm sorry, he's the one who can bind the strong man. He's the stronger man who can bind the strong man. All right, so he's our strength. He makes our feet like deer's feet, enabling us to go to high places. All right, so I want you guys to always stay in that high place of peace and joy and confidence. And you know, if you have to listen back to this lesson again and again, and just know that you know, some of these things are hard. We go through some difficult things, but no matter what we go through, the Lord's with us and he'll see us through. He always has. Anything you want to add, Miss Tammy?
No. All right. I just like the patience. I know that it's going to happen suddenly and I'm just waiting.
Yep.
His timing is perfect.
Yes. Right. Just like in 3:16, it says, I'll wait for the coming day when disaster will strike those who invade us. Now, okay, so that is the end of Habakkuk. And then, let's see, next week,
Micah
is next week. Okay, so don't forget to do your homework. If you want to go and get the books, if you haven't done that already, to do the homework, I always encourage you to do that. All the books are over here on Amazon, and you can get them. And so what I really encourage you to do is to actually read the book first. Read the book first, and then be able to finish to do the study. There they are in German, but here are the study guides for the End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, and here are the ones, the study guide and the answer key for the major clues from Minor Prophets. All right, so there's the books. I'm going to put that over there, and then I'm going to answer the question that someone asked earlier. Oh, Songbird already did it. Thanks, Songbird. You're on it. Good job, girl. All right, so the thing that someone had asked. And I think it was H. Clay. I want to make sure that I answer the question. They were saying, you know, is this what we're going to see in the Golden Age? And the answer is yes. This is it. This is clearly it. So, and so what I encourage you to do is to, you know, and this is what I've done. Okay. And that's why I know this works. And, you know, sometimes on the first pass, you catch a lot. But on the second pass, you catch more. And the third pass, you catch more and more. And so as you read and you're specifically looking for that, like, okay, when is this happening? When will the Lord Jesus rule and reign on this earth? When does all this all these pieces will come together for you. So, you know, not just for H. Clay, but for everyone. So I really, you know, encourage you to do that and to listen to them. And like I said, on Melissa Red Pill, sometimes it's just easier to listen to the audiobook and just to, you know, it just, yeah, even without answering questions, just listen and soak it in. I love how many times, because I was looking for that answer to H. Clay, and I was like, okay, is he going to physically dwell on this earth? And it says it like, I don't know, I've got a list of all the different places, like 6 different times where it talks about that he will physically dwell with us. All right, so I hope that helps. Was there anything else before we jet? We're already at 1:22. All right, yes. I know we're all ready to flip the tables, but I trust the Lord knows the right timing and the plan. Was there anything else? Did I answer? I think I answered those questions. All right. And so he says that, you know, if we will not watch, then he'll come upon us in an hour that we don't know. But the opposite is true, is if we watch, then we'll recognize him. We'll see him. We will not be taken off guard. All right. I think that's it. Okay. If there's anything else, I'll be on the chat for a little bit longer after we finish. All right. So would you pray for us, Miss Tammy?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We praise you. We thank you for this word today. We just wait excitedly. We just wait to hear from you and to do your will. We thank you for each person here today. And we just think that you help us to carry this message out, that these minor prophets that a lot of people have not seen or studied are coming out and getting more and more into the world and into you, that people can see that word that's always been right there in front of us. And we just thank you, Lord, that each person here today can take a piece of that, whatever they heard most in their heart, and share it with someone else. And that's how your word gets out. We thank you for Melly. We thank you for all that's going on in the world today. And we just pray that we are there as your instruments daily to do what it is you would have us do. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I love it. I love you guys so much. I'm so glad that we are together. I'm just so thankful for each one of you and you know, just how we are, the Lord has brought us together and how he's using us. So just keep going. And I will see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time on the same channel. And I guess it's time to go. I love you guys. And we will talk to you later.